Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
Hi there. This is Angela Jernigan. I am a certified instructor with Hand in Hand Parenting. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization based out of California. It's been around since 1989. It was started initially under the name Parent Leadership Institute. And Hand in Hand is really around to nurture the connection between parents and children. We have instructors at this point all around the world teaching classes both in person and online. And we have a website that's just chock full of articles and information and different ways of supporting parents. So while you're listening to this call or after the call, feel free to go to our website at www.handinhandparenting.org. There's just a wealth of information on there for you. We are gathering on this teleseminar this evening to talk a little bit about one particular tool that we use in Parenting by Connection, and it's called Listening Partnerships for Parents. And it's the way that my co-presenter, who's Attilia Montelers, and I, it's both our primary practice for remaining centered and grounded in our parenting. So we're going to tell you on this call a little bit about our own personal stories about how we use this practice and how it helps us become better parents. And we're also going to give you a little bit of background and context so that you can understand a bit of the brain science, a bit of what's happening inside of our brains when we do this practice, so that we can connect more deeply to our children. And we'll give you some ideas about some real concrete ways that you can work to set up this practice in your own life. Because we know now really definitively that children who feel deeply connected to their primary caregivers are children who thrive. And that listening to children is the way to build close connections with them. But for anyone who spends any amount of time with their children, you know that it's not always easy to listen to our children. And it's not easy because most of us as parents are living with a tremendous amount of stress. There's many things that we're needing to pay attention to on a given day, and lots of different feelings and reactions are coming up for us as we're parenting. So even though we may know that listening to our children is really good for them and that building a connection to them through our listening is the key to their lives going well, we may know that, but there's still lots of obstacles in our way to being able to really listen and connect with our children. So we want to give you this tool, Listening Partnerships for Parents, as a way for you to get to have a little space and time for yourself so that you can feel grounded and centered and return to your families more prepared and more able to tune into your kids and give them the quality of attention that we all know they really deserve and you want to give them. So why don't I now turn this over to Attilia?
Hi, everyone. Hi. I'm Attilia Montelers. I'm a Parenting by Connection instructor in Romania. I have recently become one in this fall, and I have three children, a seven-year-old boy and a five-year-old girl and another three-year-old girl. And I have been using the Parenting by Connection tools for 3 years, and I have become addicted, if I may say so, to listening partnership. Like, there is no way I can breathe without it. I cannot connect well with my children without listening partnership. I'll be sharing more a bit later, but now I'd like to turn this over to you, Angela, to get us started. Would you like that?
Sure, that would be great. Thank you, Atulia.
Yeah.
Again, I said my name is Angela, and I have been practicing hand-in-hand listening tools, the Parenting by Connection tools, with my daughter for about a little bit, almost 6.5 years now. She's going to be 7 in May, and I was lucky enough, I'll say, to find Parenting by Connection, which is the approach to parenting that Hand in Hand developed. And I was lucky enough to find them when my daughter was just 4 months old. And I'll say I was lucky because I was having a really, really hard time of it. She was a really, I guess we could say, agitated baby. She cried a lot of the time. She had a lot of difficulty sleeping and nursing, and doctors said that there was nothing medically wrong, but she was just upset and agitated all the time, and I had barely slept for 4 months. And I found out that Patty Whistler, the founder of Hand in Hand, was offering a class not far from my house, and I managed to get into it. And this was really when things in my life began to turn around, and I started to feel more confident as a parent and more able to respond to my child in a way that I felt confident was really helpful to her. So I, over time, felt that the listening tools that I learned in Hand in Hand helped me through all these different developmental stages that my daughter went through, and helped us through a whole bunch of challenges that came our way in life. And when my daughter was about 3, I started teaching my friends Parenting by Connection listening tools, and started seeing it make such a difference in their lives that I decided to become certified as an instructor. And I've now been a certified instructor for a little bit over 2 years, and I've had the chance to share this practice with maybe 45 or 50 families who've taken Building Emotional Understanding classes with me, and I've just been absolutely moved to see how healing this practice can be in families across the board. And what I tend to tell people in the last day of class is, if there's one listening tool that you come away from this course really practicing even daily in your life, it would be listening partnerships for parents. It's really only possible for us as parents to tune into our children and pay attention to them deeply when we're getting deep listening ourselves, and when we've had a chance to be seen and heard and known in our complex experience of parenting. So, Atulia, can I pass this back to you now?
Yes, of course. So, what I would like to talk to you about tonight is a little bit about the brain science between the parent and child connection, and then describe a little bit the process of re-stimulation. I will tell you all about it, how re-stimulation gets in the way of connecting with our children. And I would like to illustrate this with a little story of myself. So, first story is about about the connection between myself and my 3-year-old girl. One morning I said to Kimmy, would you like to do special time with me? Special time is one of the amazing listening tools of hand-in-hand parenting, where the parent sets, 15 or 20 minutes or 30 minutes aside to interact with a child, and the child says whatever he wants. So I asked Kimmy, what would you like to do in our special time? And she said, you know what, Mommy, I would like to run around, and then I'm going to tell you when to stop, and then I'm going to tell you when to run over again. And she would, the game was about stop and go, stop and go. It was very nice. It was a very nice power game. And afterwards, she sat down and she grabbed a pen, and she colored a whole piece of paper in black. And while coloring that piece of paper, she told me, a 3-year-old girl, you know, Mommy, I have to tell you something. This friend of mine, Alexia, I just grab a name. It's not the real name. you know, she's not a good friend. I said, really? Why not? Well, she's not a good friend because she's telling me, like, I'm small, I cannot do anything. She's bossing me around. She's telling me, Kimmy, do this, Kimmy, do that. I don't think she's a good friend. So, wow, that's great. Okay, and now I'd like to, so that was my story, and I found, like, my God, a three-year-old, I'm not able to do such judgments. Now it's 35 years old, and a three-year-old could do it just like that. But how did that happen? So during the special time, that's a time where you give your child a loving connection, where you just pour love over your child, a lot of love and attention. And our children, like we, the parents, have a part of the brain which is called the limbic system, which is our emotional, social-emotional center, and which detects the attention. Patty Whiffler, the founder of Hand in Hand Parenting, is calling this, is naming the limbic system a radar. She's saying, like, the limbic system is constantly searching for attention, constantly searching for getting the feeling like, is the adult next to me caring for me? Am I being loved? Am I feeling safe? Am I well regarded? Is no one upset with me? And during this special time, Kimmy, my daughter, got this sense of connection. Connection is something that you cannot measure, right? You cannot touch it. You cannot weigh it. It just is. You know there is because it's so real and it's so powerful. And when the limbic system feels that connection, that makes all the rest of the part of the brains function well. So the prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain which governs the highest functions of the human mind, such as planning, judgment, impulse control, reasoning, her prefrontal cortex started working after having the connection. And she started working, Kimmy, my daughter, started working on something which was bothering her, the relationship with a friend of hers. And that's how she made that decision. So I found, like, wow, this is really working, pouring in connection and then the child getting so intelligent and just deciding her life at 3 years old. I found that amazing. But in order to be able to give this connection to our children, I feel that we need to feel connected too. Our limbic systems need to feel that connection and attention and love as well. And if we don't feel that, we feel stressed out. And we know all parents do feel stressed out. We sometimes feel isolated and we don't know what to do. And we start lashing out at our children. Even if we know the tools, I find myself still yelling sometimes at my children. I'm ashamed of that, but I still do that. But that got much less because of this wonderful healing tool, which is called Listening Partnership for Parents. And Angela will tell you in a moment more about that. So in order to keep that connection going between myself as a parent and my child, I need to have listening myself. And what happens is that a parent gets re-stimulated several times a day by their children. Patty Whiffler called the process of re-stimulation means that your child does something and it affects you. It pushes your button in some way. And Patty Whiffler called this process re-stimulation. And I will have another example on re-stimulation and how listening partnership helped me. Anna, my 5-year-old girl, she told me one morning, Mommy, during our special time, we do lots of special time in the morning to get the day rightly started. Would you like to cook? I would like to make a new cake from this cookbook. And I just felt that moment a tension in my body. I thought, oh my God, a cook? I never cook for my children. Am I supposed to cook in a special time? Yes, I'm supposed to cook in a special time. And I said, as enthusiastically as I could, yes, let's do it. So she picked up the ingredients, but I started to get hysterical. Don't touch it. Don't play with the floor like with a flour like this. Oh, look where you put the eggs. Oh my God, are we supposed to mix it like that? And then I said, Anna, I'm sorry. I just can't do it. Mommy got scared. I said, Mommy, you are so funny. Why are you scared? I said, I don't know. I have to find out. I'm going to do an LP with my partner a bit later, and I'm going to find out. I have no idea why I'm scared. Then later in my listening partnership, I talked to my partner, and I said, oh, God, this is what happened. And I couldn't do the special time, and I yelled at my child, and that was not good. And the listening partner asked me a very good question, like, how was the cooking experience for you when you were a child? And I said, well, that was not a nice experience because my mom, who's a wonderful mom, and I adore her, she just liked to cook all by herself. She wanted to close the kitchen. She wouldn't allow me to cut the vegetables or whatever. And so that's why I thought maybe as a child, like, oh, cooking is something weird, something strange, something that you do in isolation with no joy around. No, that's nothing for me. And then I realized that, and I cried about it. Like, I wanted to be more next to my mom during the cooking experience. And then next day, I asked my daughter, what would you like to do in our special time? And she asked me, is your fear a bit lower? I said, yes, it's lower. You like to cook again, right? Yes. I said, okay, let's cook. And it was better. The cake was not good, but I felt much better, and she enjoyed it, and she had the feeling, my daughter had the feeling like, oh, my mom did this for me. You know, she made it. So, yeah, this is re-stimulation, and this is how listening partnership works. And now I'd like to ask you, Angela, to give us a bit of the brain science of what's happening in the listening partnership, and tell us a story of yourself as well.
Thank you so much, Attilia. Thank you for your story. Nice to get a picture of how this worked in your life. I'll just continue the story I started off with. I had a baby who was very, very agitated and cried almost all the time. And I was really at my wit's end. And I took this class called Building Emotional Understanding with Patty Whiffler. And I learned all of these different ways that I could listen to my child and help calm her nervous system down and help her sleep better and help her nurse and help her just become a more relaxed, at-ease child. But I found that as the class went on and as I was practicing these listening tools and then after the class was over, when I was continuing to try to practice these listening tools, I felt like I would just get really overwhelmed listening to my child. It felt profoundly sad to me to hear her crying, and there were times when it was hard for me to even make eye contact with her when she was crying. I felt so overwhelmed with my own emotion, and even when I wasn't listening to her, I wound up feeling like just kind of lost in my life. I felt like the whole world felt like I was just in this ocean of emotion, and I was feeling less and less grounded and less secure, and this made it harder and harder on me to listen to my daughter. And I knew from the class that the key to being able to listen to my daughter is that I'm supposed to have the grounded, organized brain that can tune into her experience and offer an anchor so that she could process through her own emotions. But I felt really clear that I was not that centered, calm presence I was supposed to be. I was lucky enough to be in an area where once the Building Emotional Understanding class was over, we had what's called a skill building class afterwards, and it was a small group of people who'd been in the Building Emotional Understanding class together, and we met every other week, and we would share listening time with each other as a group. And I wound up feeling like this group was just an absolute lifeline for me, that no matter how little sleep I got or no matter how hard things were, I managed to get myself to that class. And in that class, I made relationships with other parents who were practicing these listening tools with their kids at home, and we started setting up listening partnerships. And over the course of the next year, I actually still, to this day, 6.5 years later, I still meet with that same skill building class, and I've had listening partnerships with all the members off and on over the years. But I noticed that over that first year that I was practicing listening, I would regularly need to get to my listening partners and talk about this really scared, ungrounded feeling that I had, that I just felt so overwhelmed by my daughter's feelings and felt like something felt just really unsafe to me about existence. It felt so big that I just couldn't feel grounded and secure myself. And I found that I repeatedly would bring this feeling to my listening partnerships, and it continued to come up for me a lot. One day my mother saw me listening to my baby, and she said, you know, I didn't really know much about making eye contact with babies when you were really little, and I never listened to you like that. And my mom had had her own life experiences and her own reasons why she didn't, you know, no one had ever listened to her that way or connected with her that way. And so as she said this to me, my mom came in close and she made eye contact with me and started listening to me in exactly the same way that I'd been listening to my baby. And I felt like all of those feelings that I'd been bringing to listening partnerships came up, and my mother was able to listen to me in that way. And over the next several months, I would, in my listening time, remember my mother's eyes looking at me. And it was like I was finally feeling what I needed to feel. And getting to visit and revisit that experience. And what happened over these months is that it was almost like reality started to just feel more and more clear and more safe. And I noticed that it got easier and easier to listen to my baby. And I asked my family more questions about what my childhood was like and what my infancy was like, and I learned that I had been left for long stretches of time to cry alone in my crib, because that's what people did at that time to get their babies to sleep. And apparently for me, this was a really, really difficult experience. And I think that what was happening in hindsight is that I was re-experiencing my own infancy when I was being with my daughter in her infancy. So we know now what happens for parents when they're bonding with their children, and it can explain what was happening to me. The way emotional memory works is that it gets laid down almost like strata of rocks. So it gets laid down in layers chronologically. And so when you're bonding with a baby who's an infant, the infant layer of your own brain kind of lights up. And whatever emotional material is residing there that hasn't been resolved, whatever little kind of bundles of trauma are in that layer, those bundles of trauma will light up and come to the surface. So when we are with, when we're bonding with an infant, our infant self is also present in our mind. And when we're bonding with our two-year-old self comes to the surface. So this is one of the things that makes parenting as challenging as it is, that we're not just parenting our own child, we're parenting the two-year-old within us and the child within us, that part of our brain is pushing up anything that still needs attention. I think this happens even more when we're offering our children a quality of attention that we didn't get. It's like trying to offer something from a well that's not full and in many cases even empty. And we can feel what we didn't get when we try to give it to our children. So what I found was that I could use my listening partnership as a place to re-experience those layers of emotional history in a way that was really healing for me. And what's happening when a listening partner tunes into us is they're offering their limbic system. Their limbic system is tuning into my inner reality and giving me the experience of feeling felt. So when I get the safe, secure feeling of someone listening to me warmly and respectfully and with their confident gaze kind of reassuring me that all is well, my mind automatically offers up whatever's in there that needs to be resolved. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but when someone listens to you really well and looks at you really caringly, sometimes you just notice you have all these feelings that you didn't even know you had before. And that was happening to me so regularly that bit by bit, it was like the fog started to clear and this much more grounded, secure feeling came over me, and I was able to find a kind of strength in myself and a clarity in myself that I had never had before in my life. And I didn't even know I was needing it until I realized I didn't have it for my child. So this is one of the ways that parenting can be a profoundly healing path for us. It's profoundly triggering, it's re-stimulating, to use Patti Whistler's word, because as we parent, our own childhoods get ignited and those memories push forward. And we don't always even know we're remembering because it's implicit memory, not explicit memory. But we wind up reliving a lot of our own early experiences. But if we get the right kind of support around us, we can relive those experiences in a way that's really healing and allow something new to happen in our brains. So in a listening partnership, what we do is we exchange listening time with another parent. And we call it listening time, and we may say, I've got 10 minutes. I'll listen to you for 5 minutes, and you listen to me for 5 minutes. Or I've got 30 minutes, so we can exchange 15 minutes each. And you decide that one person's the listener, and the other person is going to be listened to. And then you switch. And when you're the person being listened to, it's your job to just tune into your own experience. Sometimes we need the chance to just think out loud about something, to make a decision like, oh, how do I decide which preschool to send my kid to? Patti says that at any given point in time, parents carry a list of something like 25 things that we need to do. So sometimes we just need someone's attention while we think through something that we need to do. Sometimes we need a chance to notice what we're feeling about parenting, where we're getting really frustrated, where we're getting really upset, where we are losing our patience. But whatever it is, we're just kind of tuning into our own experience and talking to our listening partner, telling them what things are like for us, what kinds of things we're feeling and thinking. And our listener just stays warmly focused on us. So when we're the listener, it's our job to listen with respect. And we know that the person we're listening to is profoundly intelligent. The human brain is just an extraordinary creation. It's the most complex organism in the universe. And so the person sitting in front of you is intricate and amazing and brilliant, no matter how they look and feel in this moment. And that if I, as a listener, just put my warm attention on the person in front of me, their brain will offer up whatever little bits of things need to be resolved. And so as I listen, I'm respecting the intelligence and the healing capacity of the person I'm listening to, and I also respect myself that I'm offering something extremely valuable in the way that I'm listening. So I just try to think warm thoughts about the person in front of me and express with my eyes and my facial expression that I care about their experience and that I trust that they have all their own answers. So I don't give any advice. I don't turn the topic around and make it about me. I just keep my focus on that person. And I also hold everything that they tell me in a listening session with confidence. So I keep it confidential. I don't repeat what I've heard to any outside people. And I also don't bring it up with that person again. Like when we're walking to the car later or if we bump into each other at the grocery store, I don't say, oh, I'm so sorry. How's that going with your husband or whatever it was they were talking about? We want to keep people in charge of that material that they bring up in listening time. So we don't bring it up outside of listening session. So this is how we practice a listening partnership. We typically, people get connected to listening partners through building emotional understanding classes and or through skill building classes. If you haven't had the chance to take a class like that through Hand in Hand, it is very possible to train people in your life to listen to you this way. And there's a great resource on Hand in Hand's website for doing this called Listening Partnerships for Parents. It comes as a little pamphlet, but you can actually download it as a PDF file. It's free. So you can go to, I think, the articles section on the website and look for Listening Partnerships for Parents. And it will tell you in detail how to set up a listening partnership for yourself and how to do it. So you can train people in your life, friends, to just listen without advice, without interrupting, and with confidence that your brain knows just what to do. And it will be a tremendous resource to you as you return to your relationship with your children. Hand in Hand can also help you connect to a listening partner if you don't have a friend or someone in your life who you feel safe enough with to do this. Again, go to the website, and there's an area on the website that connects you to a whole range of resources, and Listening Partnerships is one of the resources in their support forum, and you can sign up for an online discussion group and get connected to other people who are looking for a listening partnership. So these are a couple of concrete ways to build some more listening into your life. And just as someone who's done it, I feel like my capacity to stay with my daughter through all of what life brings us has been exponentially improved by regularly having chances to be listened to myself. Otilia, I pass it back to you at this point. Is there anything you'd like to add to what I said?
Maybe that whatever we say, I'm not sure if you said that, but maybe you did, but just to make sure that we all know about it, what we say during the listening partnership is confidential, but I guess you mentioned that, right? We don't talk about it.
I think I did, but go on. You can say it again. It's important.
You did. Yeah. Okay, so that was it. And just like you, I mean, I had a difficult relationship with my older son, and I thought there's no way I could have a good relationship with him. And through listening partnerships, I could heal my previous relationships with the men in my life. And, you know, it was like a two-way lane. On the one hand, I was working on the relationship with my son, and at the same time, I was healing the relationship with my father, for example. So that's the amazing thing. Like, right now I can embrace my father and I can accept him and enjoy him, while previously I couldn't. Because obviously the relationship between me and my son re-stimulated me in the way that he reminded me of things that my father used to say or my father used to do, you know. And so that's very healing. It's very powerful and it's very healing. And, yeah, so I encourage everyone to try and do it. What do you think, Angela? Should we now open this up for questions and answers, or do you still have something else to add?
No, I think let's open it up and see what people have to share or what they have to ask.
Okay, so if you have a question or a comment, you can press star 2. And we will open up the line for you.
I see someone with a question right here.
Okay.
Someone from Romania.
Lucia.
Yes, that's me.
I thought it was yes,
I would
Lucia.
Like to ask, having a listening partnership in person, is it much better than having one by the phone, for instance?
Lucia, yes. Most of the times, having one in person is more powerful because you look into each other's eye and sometimes you want to give each other a hug when the things you tell show the listener that you need some comfort. But my listening partnerships are almost all of them online, and they are working great as well. They are either through Skype or they're either through the telephone, because it's just easier to arrange. It's much easier to write an email and ask, do you have 15 minutes later on this afternoon, or an SMS, a text message. So they are powerful as well. They are more powerful ones in person, and the ones in groups as well. Those are my experience with groups, is that these are the most powerful ones, because you get attention from more brains, and then you get to offload your feelings more profoundly. But the online ones just work well as well. Yeah. Is that okay, Lucia?
Yes. Can I ask another question?
Yes, sure.
From what you told me, understand that you managed to have a group, an in-person meeting with a group, and to set up this kind of listening partnership. Is that true?
No, not for myself. So I do listening partnership classes. I teach listening partnership classes, and I just see that the experience is amazing. So, for example, every member of the class has 8 minutes, and those 8 minutes work wonders, and I get to have 3 minutes, and it's amazing as well. Yeah, so I don't get to do it for myself. For myself, I only do a Skype or telephone, and sometimes in person, very seldom in person. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
There is another pamphlet. I'm sorry, there is another pamphlet called Setting Up a Parent Resource Group. It's also available on the website, and it will tell you how to set up a group of listening support for parents if you do have several friends who you'd like to practice this with. So there's that resource available for you.
Yeah. Thank you, Angie. Yeah. Is that okay, Lucia?
Yes, that's okay. Thank you. I admire you very much. I admire your work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You.
We have another caller from Cliffside. Hello?
Hi, I'm Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, my question is, can you do listening partnership with your spouse?
I think it's very difficult because it's very hard to give yourself the love and attention that you would get from somewhere else. I think that you can cry on your own, but my experience is not that it's not as powerful as when you get it from somewhere else, from somebody else. You know, it's what Angela was talking about, that when we do listening partnership and someone else listens to you, you feel the attention from the other limbic system, which is being poured into your limbic system. Isn't that correct, Angela? What's your opinion about that?
That is what I was saying. I wasn't sure if the question was asking if you could do listening partnerships with your spouse. Is that what the question was?
Yes.
Was it with yourself or with your spouse?
With your spouse.
Oh, your spouse. Oh, my God.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to speak to that, Attilia, or should I?
You go ahead.
So I think you can do listening partnerships with your spouse. I do listening partnerships with my spouse. There are some things to keep in mind. Sometimes the people who we're parenting with are the people who trigger us the most, and we trigger them. We're kind of in a pressure cooker together if we're in the same family. And so sometimes it can be hard to listen with the same degree of respect or compassion or spaciousness as you could to somebody else who you're not trying to pay the bills with and do the dishes with and do bedtime with and all those other things. So there's some things to keep in mind when you're doing listening partnerships with your spouse. You have to work a lot harder to not take things personally and to let someone just have their feelings and not be defensive about it. Typically, when you're doing listening with your spouse, it's much better if you can just really focus on feeling your own feelings rather than wanting them to listen to a long story about your thoughts about them. So there's ways that you can set it up to be more effective. I do tend to think that it's just, even if you have the kind of relationship with your spouse where you can do this pretty well, I think it's always really valuable to have someone in your life who you don't have a very complex, layered relationship with, who you can do listening with, because there's just a different kind of spaciousness and ease when you're not, you know, at the end of the listening time, you don't have to return to coordinating responsibilities with this person. So did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
You're so welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. It's been great.
Great. So there had been a third person here with a question. Did that person go away? Do we have any others?
I think so.
Okay. Are there any last things that anyone would like to know about? Otilia, would you like to say anything else about listening partnerships in your life?
So one thing that I have noticed is, for instance, that I suddenly started to get very triggered on Saturday. Like I never was really a cleaner in the house, but suddenly when Yuri was 6 years old, my son, I suddenly saw that, I realized I'm getting really angry on Saturday morning when the house is not cleaned, and everyone was wondering, like, what's going on with you? For 6 years, you have been different. You have been very easy with cleaning. And then, I had a listening partnership on that, and then my listening partner asked me what happened when you were six as far related to cleaning the house. And I remember that was the time, that was the age between six and seven when we started in our family to clean up the house. And it was not a very pleasant experience because we used to hide things under the carpet and under the bed and, you know. And once I realized that the weekends are very re-stimulating for me, maybe that is an idea to take away. Is that if you find like there are moments in your life when you get re-stimulated, like I had the one on Saturday morning, maybe that's a good idea to just schedule a listening partnership always on Saturday morning, and then you know you had your mind cleared up for the weekend. And you can be more close and connected to your children, and you can respond to your children's needs and behavior in a better way. So, yeah.
That's so smart, Otilia. You can be really strategic about it. Like where is my attention falling apart for my kids?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see there is someone from Montreal. Hello?
Yes, can you
hear
me?
Someone from Montreal? Hi there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, thank you. My name is Itzel, and there's a question. I understand what you have explained about the connection that it is built when somebody listens to you and the why there is no need that much for comments or answers to this. But what I want to say is that sometimes what happens to me and when I, what I really need to express is our feelings that, that embarrass me or that makes me feel ashamed because I can feel so crazy or so full of anger or, you know, like, and I wish I don't have those feelings. So sometimes when I say them, my partner has been my listening partner in this regard, and it is very hard for me to share these things and have him, you know, know these parts of me. But I think it is important for me to hear his reassurance, or whoever is listening to me hear their reassurance, to know that, you know, like when he answers me that he feels those way that way too, and it can be comforting. So I don't know. I guess my question or my comment is it never a good thing to give feedback to what you listen to or what you comment to somebody else, like when you, what you share to somebody else? Like I sometimes feel like I would like to listen to some feedback too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Celia, do you want to take that or should I take it?
I can take it. Yeah, my experience is that the listener, you can ask your listener if you need some approval about what you're feeling. And most of the time, if your listener knows you well enough, they will see that you need a confirmation that it's okay how you feel. That's very normal how you feel. That's what we do. That's part of the listening process that you say to the other person, that's fine. You are a good person. It's good. What you're feeling is good. It's great. We don't usually say, I feel the same, but you can ask, do you have that feeling too? And then you can say, yes, I have that feeling too. I think everyone has that feeling. So I think it's okay to say, yeah. What do you think, Angela?
I agree. I love what you're saying about asking for feedback. I think it's a really good thing to learn to do when you know that you need some reassurance. I also think that it's a great thing to be aware of when you're the listener, that part of your job is to create a sense of safety for the other person, and that I feel like there are times when I just kind of get a sense that this would be a time to say just a very small reassuring comment, like, oh, you're so good, or what a good mom you are, or some small little thing, and almost as much as communicated with my eyes and the tone of my voice, and maybe I'll squeeze their arm a little bit more. There's lots of subtle ways of indicating that you're so okay and it's absolutely fine that you feel this way and it's so great that you're sharing it with me. And so finding small, subtle ways to reassure someone is actually part of my job as a listener, because it's my quality of attention that's keeping the person's sense of being safe and secure intact so that their own healing process can begin. And so I think if your listening partner isn't picking up on those cues and isn't adequately undergirding your sense of safety, then it's a fine thing to ask for it and ask for that reassurance. I think you should be getting it, especially when you're sharing things that are risky, that feel risky to share.
Okay.
I think that's great.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you. Thank you for your answer, both of you.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for calling in. So good to have you.
Thank you.
So does anybody else have any questions they'd like to bring up here? I'd like to just add, this is Angela again, that I sometimes find it almost as healing to listen to another parent as it is to share, that they're both such incredible experiences, and there's something about the world that we're parenting in. There's this idea that you should have all the answers and you should have everything all figured out. And it's just such a relief when someone else starts to tell the truth about what it's like to parent and where do things get hard and where is it impossible to be patient and to just kind of show more of the rough edges that trying to love and care for a little person day in and day out is just not easy. And when I get to see someone else really in the throes of trying to figure that out and dealing with their own feelings about it, there's something about that that's also just very healing for me. So having the exchange, it's an important piece of this practice. There's a time and a place to get one-way attention, I think, from a therapist or some kind of practitioner. But this practice in particular is about exchanging attention. And there's something in the exchange of two minds alternately sharing their raw experience that's really especially healing. And it's a really wonderful way to get close to someone.
It is. Yeah. Angela, I think we have someone from Romania again.
Another question?
Could I please ask another question?
Yes.
I would like to ask, do you think that it's better to have as your listening partner someone who is a friend or someone you know, or is it better to have someone who doesn't know you, a stranger?
I think it's great to try it out different ways. I have friendships where we combine listening partnership time in the friendship, and that can be really wonderful. It can be wonderful if it's a friend and we both have children and we're off somewhere with our kids and, you know, kind of in the throes of life together, we can pause and get a little listening with each other. That's wonderful. But there's also really something to be said for having a listening partner who's not involved in the day-to-day work of my life or the day-to-day involvement of my life, so that I'm never having to think, oh, what does this person think of my parenting, or does this person have any judgments about this about me, or, oh, no, if I say that I'm scared of X, Y, and Z, then they're not going to want me to take care of their child again, or I just don't have to have any doubts. Something about the simplicity of having someone who's uninvolved in my life sometimes allows me to just really stay focused on my own experience and worry less about their opinions of me. But I think just try it out and see what really works for you.
Thank you. I'm trying.
Do you have a listening partner?
I tried to set up a listening partnership, but I guess it didn't seem to work.
Uh-huh. What didn't work about it?
Well, we just didn't seem to be able to meet so that we could actually do it.
Mm-hmm. Is this someone who you could Skype with?
Well, it's someone I could talk on the phone or Skype with, yes.
Mm-hmm. I found
maybe I should try it in another, the long distance way, not in person, if in person it seems to be difficult to set up.
Yeah, my experience with parents is as wonderful as in-person listening is, it's just often not possible given how packed and crowded our lives are. I try to do it, get some in-person listening every week if I can, but I do a lot of listening on the phone. It tends to work better if you already if I've spent time in person with someone, so I can at least imagine what their face looks like. I've found Skype to be a wonderful, wonderful way of doing listening time because I can actually see someone's eyes and their expression as they're listening to me. So that's another possibility. But I wouldn't limit yourself to in-person time. Getting it however you can is really worth it.
Yeah.
But
Angela. Angela, I think we have reached the end of the hour. Or should we take another question? One last question. I see from Cliffside.
Yes, yeah. Is this another question from Cliffside, New Jersey? Or is that from before?
Or was it from before? Okay.
I think that was from before, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I think we got to the end of our teleseminar, and it's time to close our call. But before we do that, I'd like to take a moment to share some of the main thoughts from today's topic. We started talking about the brain science between the parent and child connection, and we said that connection is really vital for a child's intelligence. It's like it's just as important as eating and sleeping and breathing. It's just nourishment for the brain. Then we talked about the process of re-stimulation and the fact that we parents are getting re-stimulated a couple of times per day by our children, which makes parenting very hard. And that's why Hand in Hand Parenting came up with this amazing healing tool, which is Listening Partnership for Parents. And it takes a while until we get started with arranging them, but once we got it set, it's great. If you like this teleseminar, we have a few more free teleseminars coming up, so please check our website, www.handinhandparenting.org. And we have other free resources, including the monthly newsletter. You've got many articles, and we have a membership to a free Yahoo discussion group. And if you want to learn these skills more deeply, setting limits as well, play listening, special time, we offer an instructor-led six-week-long classes, BEU, Building Emotional Understanding, which is our core classroom. And we praise ourselves for this classroom because it has received great reviews and it's the best way to learn about our approach. There are also some self-paced and self-guided classes such as No More Hitting and Setting Limits and Building Cooperation and How to Help Young Children Sleep and Siblings Without Rivalry, I think. Also, Hand in Hand is a non-profit organization, and if you want to make a donation to provide for free services like this parenting call, that would be great. So thank you so much for being on the call tonight, and we have really enjoyed having you with us. Bye-bye from me, for Otilia.
Mm-hmm. And bye-bye from Angela. I just want to underscore one last time the last thing Otilia said, and just let you know that only half of the services that Hand in Hand provides to parents are paid for services. Half of what we provide is done for free, and so we do rely profoundly on the support of donors and foundations. So if you could come to the website and make a gift to Hand in Hand, we would love to have your support as we spread the support and information about deepening connections to children around the world. It's really a movement. It's not just a practice. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful to have you with us. We know your time is precious, and it takes so much to set aside time and focus on anything. So thank you for your investment in yourself and in your children. Take good care and have a great night.
Thanks for joining us. Hand in Hand is here to help you get the support you need for your work as a parent. To download podcasts on additional parenting topics, go to handinhandparenting.org/store. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.